Good evening. We're continuing our series in the Beatitudes tonight. Let me just get this the right way around. That would help. There we go. And tonight we're looking at the meek. The meek. Our main reading, our main text, for those who want to turn to it, is from Matthew 12. And I'm going to read that first, and then we'll get into this subject of meek or meekness or being meek, what it means. So it's Matthew 12, beginning to read at verse 14. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. In his name the Gentiles will hope. And we give thanks to the Lord for his word to us, and you can keep that one marked. We'll be coming back to it. And maybe start to chew on that as I progress. When I was considering what to say to you tonight, just moving this back because I feel as if I'm going to be on Gus's lap. Let's see, that's better. That's better. Keep your people close and not too close. When I was considering what to say, I was reminded of two things. The first is this, that in looking at these Beatitudes, we are being taught a new way of living. And we either want to accept that or we don't. We either want to accept that or we don't. And we either want to accept it and engage in it and try to live differently or we don't. And then the other reminder came from Jane. And she not know that she's reminded me of this, but she did. And I always make a mental note to take note of the things that Jane, my wife, reminds me of. So she reminded me, and it's quite true, that we're either for Jesus or we're against Jesus. You know, it really is that stark and that simple. We're either for him or we're against him. And of course, there's no real path of trajectory in that, or there's no massive spectrum of stuff in between. We're either with him or we're against him. And so we're either going to take these Beatitudes on board and adapt our behavior accordingly, or we're not. And I would suggest that if we choose not to, then we have to think very, very seriously about the second reminder, which is either that we're for Jesus or we're against him. And I let that hang with you as well, and especially alongside the passage that I've just read. I've called this talk "Small is the New Big." All right, doesn't make a lot of sense right now. Hopefully, it'll make more sense later on. Small is the new big. But I think it's important as well just to understand exactly what's happening with these Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount in which they appear is probably one of the most radical speeches that humankind has ever heard. Entirely radical, political with a small p, and especially if those ears who were listening were the Pharisees and the Romans of the day, they would have seen this as political with a big in that the behaviors and attitudes that were to be adopted by the followers of Jesus Christ ran completely countercultural to the day, to the culture of the day. They challenged at the very heart the notion that might is right. They challenged that completely. They challenged the notion that we needed to seek revenge. They challenged the notion that we would hate. There's a lot of things packed in to these Beatitudes where it says, blessed is man, basically happy. Happy are those, etc., etc., etc. So it was a very radical speech and goes down. If you buy any book on speeches, I like speeches because I like the way people over the history have used the English language in particular to make speeches. And it's in there. It ranks right up there. Even in a secular society, it ranks right up there in the top three speeches ever given by a human being, so to speak. And so we take heed of this speech, dramatically given but incredibly short, and we consider its value and its worth in our own lives. And of course, our perspective on it is that we come to it as Bible-believing Christians, born again. And so this is a manifesto for renewal. We gave our lives to Christ, we became a new creation, and other parts and parcel of Scripture feed into that then sense of what this new creation looks like, what you and I will look like over time until he comes again. And the teaching then that is packed into the Sermon on the Mount is renewal. It's about renewal. It's about you becoming something entirely different than what you were. And therefore, as we all sit here this evening, we need to be able to engage in that. We need to choose intentionally to engage in that. That sense of renewal, that desire to be this new creation in all its many, many wonderful facets, and not simply have one foot in the past and one foot in a notionary future that's to do with this guy called Jesus Christ. We are fully engaged or we're not. There was a group in the 1980s, there was a group of Chinese Christians who were released from prison. On being asked what they thought of foreign Christians, they said that those in the West knew much about God, while they, who had been starved of Bibles, teaching, corporate worship, pastoral care, and fellowship, knew God himself. I think that's powerful. Completely isolated Chinese Christians in a prison, starved of all the things that you and I take for granted, felt that we in the West had more head knowledge, so to speak. They had more heart knowledge. They knew the Savior. They knew him. And part of that renewal that comes through these Beatitudes is about you getting to know your Savior better, because in the renewal you become more like him. That's how it works. And so tonight we come to this sense of meekness. Meekness. And so I ask the question, or I make the statement, small is the new big. And I'm asking you then, how small are you? How small are you? One of the definitions given of meekness, and it's a common one, is that it's strength under control. You know, and that's right. But it's more than that. And I want to show you that it's more than that. And that's why I'm asking you, how small are you? And you've got to think of that in terms of your Christian walk, your faith journey, your ambition in Christ, your ambition perhaps in the world, what you seek to achieve. So the whole panoply of your lives, and I'm bringing it down and asking you one question, how small are you? If small is the new big, how small are you? How small are you? You see, this is what the world enjoys and celebrates, the exercising of political power and strength. The exercising of economic power and strength. The exercising of military power and strength. The exercising of cultural power and strength. The exercising of soft power and strength. Soft power. That's a lot to do with the development of what we, I think, horrendously call the third world. It's to do with development. It's where governments put money into the developing world, and it's called soft power because it brings influence. Now, sitting at the top of the nations of the world that does all of that, it would be the United States. They exercise political power and strength, they exercise economic power and strength, military power and strength, cultural power and strength, and soft power and strength. That is what they do. And let's not kid ourselves, many other nations, especially those in the top 10 or the G7 or G8, they do exactly the same. I'm not singling out the United States, I'm just saying that they're the biggest and obvious. The UK does it too. It seems that the world continues to celebrate might is right and impose its will on the world by this kind of stuff. And I want to challenge that. In fact, Jesus challenges that when he stands up in the Sermon on the Mount and he says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And those in power must have been entirely rocked. We're spending all this money on the army. We're spending all this time developing our economic power. And actually, the way to rule the world is to be meek. But the world still celebrates this today and ignores this. That the greatest power in the universe, the gospel of Jesus Christ, exercised in love at the cross, a power to change and transform individuals and nations, it sees it as weakness. Yet we, as followers of the risen Christ, we yield that power. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Are you willing to exercise it in your community, in your family, at your BB, in your youth groups, at your mother's union, at your bowls, wherever you go? We carry that power within. But we don't advertise it in the sense of how the world would like us to, or maybe would expect us to. We do something completely different. We are meek, or we're supposed to be meek in the exercising of this incredible power that defies the world, that the world can't fully understand, that the world wants to relegate to some religion when actually it's the greatest faith and numbers, never mind anything else, on the planet today and growing. Because the greatest power is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he needs his followers to develop in the way in which they yield that power. And he gave us the Beatitudes as part of how we should develop, how we should be renewed, to become more like him. And as you know, we have been on a journey to be what? Go on. With Jesus, like Jesus, and doing the things that Jesus does. We want to be more like him. We want to be more like him. And so we come to this sense of meekness. How do we yield this power? By being meek. By being meek. This is the drawback with electronic devices. They like to have codes put in every now and again. All right. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, because they shall inherit the earth. You see, the renewal happens within, doesn't it? The renewal happens within. You don't suddenly become a Christian and you say, you know what, I'm going to be meek. Look at me, I'm a meek guy. I'm really meek. Do you see how meek I am? We don't do that. We can't say, I want to be meek. We need to open ourselves to the power of the Spirit that is in the gospel that we have just accepted, so to speak, as Christians. and allow the Spirit to develop us and renew us and help us to be meek. This sense in which we're almost aloof. And you see, Jesus was meek. If you look at the passage that I read to you, it describes what he did after doing some amazing things. He gets out of the way and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what's spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud. You see, we're seen as weak because we don't get involved in big arguments. That doesn't mean we don't have a position on something or don't have the right to forthrightly defend our position, or that we don't have a say in what happens in the world today. But there's a quality of how we do it that is reserved, measured, thoughtful, almost diffident in how we would do it. And Jesus is modeling it here. He will not quarrel or cry aloud. He will let his word speak for himself. He won't be in your face screaming at you. But he'll be there and is there and is here doing exactly the same thing, letting his words speak for themselves. We've just read them. They're alive. They have purpose and intention. They are vibrant and intentional. They speak to us right here and right now. So he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. He's not booming it out. He's not walking around door to door going nuts about it. And nor does that say we can't be door to door evangelists. But there's a quality in the way in which it is done. There's a purpose, a determination, an understanding of the respect for others that we would want of ourselves and more. Because we know better as Christians and how to treat people because we've read our scripture. And we're engaged in it and we're taking it on board. Or we're not. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not quench. We have this view of an individual that's not going to create too much fuss. It's not going to stick his nose in where it's not required. You see, and the world sees that as weakness. If you look up meek in the Oxford English Dictionary, one of the things that you get, one of the words that you eventually get to is submissive. But it means submissive to the world. Weak, easily overtrodden. Don't need to regard, can cast aside, won't cause any fuss, won't get in your face, won't be any trouble. Submissive, easily manipulated. And you know what? We are and should be submissive. But to whom? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Totally submissive, totally obedient. Totally reliant upon. That is whom we are submissive to as the meek. For we shall inherit the earth. And what on earth does that mean? Well, it means that in the end, and those who have been journeying with me on Wednesday nights through the book of Revelation, it means that in the end, God's people inherit here, the new earth, the new heaven. They didn't have to fight for it. They didn't have to kill anybody. They didn't have to use subterfuge. They didn't have to lie. They didn't have to cheat. They didn't have to do anything other than be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these Beatitudes. Take them on board. Pray that they would expand and enlarge within each of our lives. That was all that was required for the meek to inherit the earth. Yet, do we? Do we engage in that? Do we lament the things that go on around us and then fail to know to recognize the answers that we already know and already have? The meek will inherit the earth. The nations of the world can build the biggest arsenals they like. They can create the greatest economies they like. They can celebrate might as right, rich as mighty, poor as awful. They can do whatever they like, but it will be the meek, the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, who ultimately inherit the earth when he comes again. That goes right over the heads of our secular world. They completely miss it. They wonder where we get our guns from. How do we build an economy that's meek? What? Meek? Meek is weak, says the world. Meek is mighty, says this Bible, says the Lord. Meek is mighty. But it requires a completely different mindset, a different attitude to people and the world around us. It requires those who claim to be for Jesus Christ to be actually fully engaged in what Jesus Christ asks of us. You see, put it this way. If we're being renewed, then an internal evolution drives an external revolution. You like that? An internal evolution, being renewed by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, being renewed because you've bothered to engage in this text, being renewed because you're now intentional about this text, being renewed because you're now going to change because of this living word, and you're going to drive an external revolution. Not because you stand up on a street corner and say, I'm part of the external revolution. Did you know that? I am some guy. I'm part of the external revolution. We're going to change the world. You're going to change the world because of the ways in which you understand and meet and greet and are relational with others. Because it will be radically different from what the world expects, because you've taken on board these beatitudes, including being meek. An internal evolution drives an external revolution. You're part of the revolution. Do you remember that show? There'll be some here, Will. There was a show on a comedy, Citizen Smith. Do you remember Citizen Smith? Anybody? Anybody on my wavelength? Anybody under, you know, under 55 on my wavelength here? All you over 55, I know you get it. Citizen Smith. I used to wear a hat, a Marxist little flat cap, and walk around with a copy of Mein Kampf in his hand. And he was part of the revolution. You're part of a revolution. You're part of a revolution that's striving towards justice, that understands that victory's already been secured. You're part of that revolution. Do you know it? Do you feel it? Are you encouraged by it? Are you excited? Have you read more and seen how it turns out? By the way, we win. We've won. The world will change. He will come again. But not because we laid a finger on anybody or took anything away from anybody or made people feel less than they actually are. In fact, we exalted the individual because they're God created. We edified them in the person of Jesus Christ. We helped them be, under the gospel and in the power of the Spirit, something more than they themselves ever thought they could be, because Jesus reigns now in their lives and anything is possible. I love it. Anything is possible. Do you want that? Is that the kind of revolution you want? Is that the kind of revolution you expect? Do you want to be part of it? Do you want to be part of it? He's done it again. They are. Thumbprints are great. You see, the meek trust God. The meek aren't ambitious about outcomes. The meek aren't counting the numbers. The meek trust God. The meek say, God, you told me to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to be disappointed if something that I expect doesn't happen because I trust you with the outcome of whatever you've told me to do. And by the way, I'm going to make myself so small in doing it, you'll hardly notice me, Lord, while I'm at it. In fact, I wouldn't mind being quite invisible while we're doing this. Because I want all the honor and glory to go to you. Isn't that right? We say that all the time. We pray it. We say, Lord, do something here, Lord, but make sure you get all the glory. And also so often becomes like an afterthought. But the meek have made themselves so small that automatically the glory goes to the Lord. Is that you? Are we making ourselves small? Are we making ourselves small as church? Are we making ourselves small as the body of Christ? Because you see, God can do so much with people who are small. This guy, Michael Green, writes a lot of commentaries. I wish I'd said this, but I didn't. But this is where the title comes from. To be so small before God so that God can afford to exalt them without the danger of their getting pride. Isn't that mighty? That's the meek. To be so small before God so that God can afford to exalt them without the danger of their getting pride. I love that. It suggests that you and I must be intentionally small in the sense that we don't want God to notice us so much, but we know that He does. Because He can exalt us, He can lift us up, He can edify us. He can take us to a place that we never dreamed of. He can make things happen in our lives that are completely unexpected. He can take people who feel worthless in the Lord and raise them up. People like Abram and Moses and many, many others who came from the most obscure parts of society. The 12 disciples, complete bunch of nobodies, uneducated in the vast majority. Poor. We said, I want you. I want you. Get out of that boat. I want you. Come with me. Follow me. And He lifted them up to the most incredible place. Now they all died horrible deaths. But on reading about them and having talked about them, and we did a whole Bible study on them, you never got a sense that they were feeling or pitying themselves for the death that they were having. They were simply doing the work that they'd been asked to do. And they went about it in a pretty meek way. Even Peter was meek. Even Peter was meek. To be so small so that God can afford to exalt them without the danger of their getting pride, because pride cuts right across meekness and all of these other beatitudes and stabs us in the back, and we don't really see it coming. Simon used the analogy of the frog in the boiling saucepan this morning, and it's apt here. We don't see this coming. It creeps in. So we need to stay focused. We need to stay intentional. We need to remain meek. Now, the other person that you hear a lot from in the church at the present is this guy, Tozer. Jesus calls us to His rest, and meekness is His method. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. Amen. If you're looking for plaudits and prizes from this world, forget it. If you're waiting for a day to start your ministry because it's going to be a mighty day, forget it. The day isn't today. If you're waiting for the world to praise you and say, boy, Carton, you are an absolutely wonderful guy. You are fantastic and a brilliant husband. Forget it. Don't look for what this world may or may not give you. Don't. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. This person knows God. Like those Chinese prisoners, this person knows God. Had no access to books or fellowship or meetings or whatever. But you couldn't stop the individual in the prison cell from praying and talking to God. He knows God. And he's decided that what God wants for him and what God determines and how God wants things to turn out, that's fine. That's fine with the meek man or woman. Because chasing after what the world may or may not give him or her is a total waste of time. Because the meek man is engaged in what God wants him or her to do. The meek man is obedient, is faithful, is incredibly strong without ever telling anybody they're strong. Is incredibly powerful because of the gospel of Christ without telling anybody. Because prayer is power. The work of the Spirit in our lives is power. God is at work in you and me. He's continuing this internal evolution so that you can be part of the external revolution. Are you engaged? Are you listening? Are you holding your hand up? Are you standing up and standing out? Do you want to be part of it? That's what he's doing. Now, Tozer has another quote. Thought I'd give you two. The meek man knows he is as weak and helpless as God has declared him to be, but he knows at the same time that he is, in the sight of God, of more importance than the angels. Wow! That's beautiful too. Look at where we rank. Look at how important the soldiers of Christ are. Look at how important we are. This is God's method for changing the world, you and me. He's decided this is what he's going to do. He's not going to wave any magic wand. He's not going to just go, sort the world out, that's it done. He said, I'm using my creation. Do you want to be used? Do you want to be submissive to what God wants in your lives? Is that what you want? Because remember my caveat at the start of the service. You're either with Jesus or you're not. I'm sorry for the bluntness in one respect, and in another I'm not. Because it's truth. Are you with him or are you not? Are you just looking at this because it's part of the series? Or are you going, wow, I need to get into this. My life hasn't been as intentional as I thought it should be. The meek man knows God loves him. God is going to use him. God is going to be so powerful in that individual's life. But doesn't make a massive song and dance about it. So how small are you going to be this evening before God? How small are you going to be before God? Behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles, you and me, will trust. How small are you going to be before God? Let's pray. Lord, you are a powerful God. Lord, come into our lives tonight and use us. Open our hearts and minds. Help us to be submissive. Continue and increase the internal evolution that we might be part of your external revolution. Oh Lord, fill us with your spirit, with your power, with your beauty and your love and your majesty. And may we engage with this world without being part of it or succumbing to it. May we move through it in barely a noticeable way. But in so doing, may your kingdom grow in a powerful and mighty way. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, we all say, Amen. Amen.